The event on February 26th, 1860, first of all, one observation. The first contact with the settlers came pretty late, you know, when you look at things. 1850, Vancouver came in a lot earlier than that on his explorations and met people in the north, for example, the Nuchatnalth people, what, 100 years before that? Or significantly, you know, earlier than that. So it occurs to me that the first contact with settlers was late, historically speaking, number one. Number two is that on that date, February 26th, 1860, there was a world renewal ceremony that was happening. So the women and children were vulnerable because the men were off engaged in the first part of this ritual. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes, the world renewal ceremony is about a 7 to 10 day ceremony, which is what I understand it to be. And it's putting the world right, setting the world right. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're Wiat, other Indians, or non-Indians, everyone was welcome because you couldn't keep any away because we're trying to set the world right. You know, I can talk to you like when you go to, when you have, some churches have communion. It's kind of similar to that. You know, when communion was presented to me for the first time, it was told that you come in with a clean heart, a pure heart. And if you are angry with someone, you need to go fix it before you can come into the circle. And this was something similar, is that if there was something, you had a grudge or something like that with a brother or a neighbor, you needed to go fix that. You need to make payment. And here you make payment. You just don't ask for forgiveness. You make payment and depart, depending upon the severity of the transgression. You gave, you know, necklaces, you gave money, you gave furs, whatever the cost was. And so everyone was invited to come, or not invited, everyone was welcome to come. And so they started out, and I think it was at towards the end of that ceremony that the perpetrators came in, not with guns, but with clubs, hatchets, axe, whatever, and they came across the bay, and while people were sleeping, the men for the day had gone back to their prospective camps or with other camps that were local, you know, close by. And what happened was that they would bring back the next day's preserves, or, you know, water, everything else, you know, other extra food, whatever. But that morning, the as everyone was resting and sleeping, only a few, probably only a couple of young men stayed behind just to watch over the elders and the women and the children. They never thought, I'll bet you they didn't think anything was wrong. And then they came in and they just wiped out everybody they could see. And I kind of akin this to what the Pomo said about the people who came into their area back in the 1800s or so, is that there was, at the time I heard the story, the Indians who voted in the national elections would never register as Democrats because the people came in called themselves the Democrats. And they came in and killed babies and women, and they said they had an eyewitness that they would take the babies and swing them and hit them against the trees. And I don't know if that happened here, but it was the same thing. It was an atrocity to people who were sleeping.
How can you just talk about this like this? I mean, when I hear the story, when I first read about this story, I mean, it's something that it just, you know, you go through anger, you go through tremendous sadness thinking about it, and, you know, you must have tremendous courage to be able to just sit here and talk about this in such a matter-of-fact way. I mean, have you forgiven on some level what's going on, or what do you think?
I look at my parents. My parents were outstanding individuals, and I try to do what they tried to teach me. And there's some days that it doesn't work. Some days I am mad and I stomp my feet. But when they told me the story, I was very young. I was probably first, maybe 5, 6 years old. And Mama always said that those people are all gone. You can't hate the people that are here. They didn't do anything to you. And don't hate the people that did it. They didn't know any better. And so you go with that wisdom, is that you can't dislike them because of the color of their skin. Because father was the one, dad was the one that you welcome everybody. It doesn't make any difference what color skin they are, what religion they are. You welcome everybody, and you welcome them with open arms. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what my grandmother said, is that when you get up in the morning, you go outside your house and you face east, and you welcome people into your life, into your home. Mm-hmm. And you just welcome them from the east, from the south, from the west, and from the north. You welcome everyone into your home, and that's just how you are. Now, you know, mother, she did that. You know, I'm assuming my grandmother did that. My dad was the ultimate arm welcomer. Everybody got a hug. Everybody. And dad was a pretty gregarious individual, where mother was very shy. Mother would stand back, let dad do all the stuff. But mm-hmm. she was there. You know, she kept the house. She did. She worked not just in the home, but she worked outside of the home. And we had people coming to our home at 6 o'clock because they knew that we had dinner. And people would come to the door, and I says, "Dad, so-and-so's here." He said, "Bring them in, we're having dinner." And it wasn't until much later in my life, probably way in my adult life, you know, mother died. My father was killed in an accident, a logging accident, when I was 16. My mother died 10 years later, when I was 26. So I look at those two individuals to see and gauge how I am to respond to things. And some days I don't do a very good job. And I have to stop and look, how would Daddy do this? But so they've told me about this story since I was just a little kid. And so talking about it, I talk about it because I don't want anyone to forget. But I don't want them to feel that I'm sitting here casting judgment on them. It's not my place to judge. That's the Creator's place, mm-hmm. not mine. Mm-hmm. And trying to do what my mom and dad did. Everyone is welcome. And we may have only one chicken, enough for us 7 people in our family. That was it. And we had people coming at the door. Mom and dad would eat whatever was left over. Everybody else would get the big pieces. And that's what I learned from them, is that things happen. Things happen for a reason. It may not be good at the time, but there might be a reason. I may never ever know what that reason is for killing people senselessly. But that's how this country was built on, was greed. No one owns anything here. It was free for the taking. No, it wasn't free for the taking. You know, manifest destiny. And that got brought up in church the other day, about a couple of weeks ago. You can ask Cheryl about manifest destiny. I'm like, yes, ask me. Go ahead. And it's just those things. And we have to have a good spirit about it. And I'm not saying that I'm all goody-two-shoes all the time. No. I am not. And I do get angry about things that come up that sometimes they're out of my control, out of our control, you know. I was talking to you about my grandnephew. He almost severed his foot, his toe. And that's what he's in surgery for, is trying to save it. It looks like it can be saved. You can be angry about that. You can ask why, God? Why is this happening to me? Well, you're not going to get an answer. It happened. There are things that happen in life. And my family, my mom and dad, raised 5 kids who are pretty matter-of-fact people. Things happen. That's life. It's a circle. You are born, you die.